we're going to read from the Word of God tonight. And if you have a Bible, if you turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. It's good to see all who have come to the meeting tonight, and we give you, as you have already heard, a very warm welcome. And we're going to talk about the old story. And it's a wonderful story. That's why we talk about it. That's why we speak about it. Romans chapter 3. And we're going to read from verse number 10. We want to pick one verse out of this portion and trust that with others that God will use this. Verse number 10 of Romans chapter 3. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, and with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. I want us, please, to notice these last verses, these last words in verse number 19, that every mouth may be stopped, and especially this wee bit, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, those are sad verses we have read. But we have got to read them, and we have got to speak about them just to get the whole subject together and to see the picture and to understand why we need to be saved tonight. And that is really my mission, is to tell us why we need God's salvation, because of what we have read and because of sin. Now, we're going to turn to a different passage, and it's in 1 Timothy this time, and these are wonderful verses now. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll just take time maybe to read one verse here. I'll give you plenty of time to find the place. And verse number, for the sake of connection, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse number 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Verse number 5, I just see here, we'll read as well in chapter 2. Verse number 4, first of all, who will of all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Verse number 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Now, our final reading is in John's Gospel and chapter 14, a verse that I have been enjoying for weeks now, a lovely verse. John 14. This verse has been quoted already in prayer. And we'll read verse number 5 just to get the connection again. John's Gospel in chapter 14, verse number 5. Jesus saith unto him, verse number 5, the end of the verse rather, and how can we know the way? This was the question that Thomas asked the Lord. How can we know the way? And then verse number 6 now. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we do know that the Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. Now, I'm sure you have asked yourself before, and you've probably thought about it in your own quiet times, will I ever get to heaven? Will I ever make it? And as most know tonight in the meeting, that we've got to die. I think that is a general thing that is believed, that one day we've got to leave. And we've got to leave this village. We've got to leave the area. And the question that sometimes hits us, will I ever get to heaven? Well, I would like, in the presence of God tonight, for you to ask yourself the question, am I going to heaven? Now, we want to be fairly straight tonight and fairly plain, because you know and I know we're just ordinary men and women. We want to ask ourselves a question, when I die, am I going to heaven? And perhaps there's someone in the meeting and you're not terribly sure about that. And that gives you concern. That when I die, when I take my last breath on earth, what about the after death? When I die, am I going to heaven? And we could, of course, then add to that, well, if we're not going to heaven, where are we going to? Because the Word of God that is before us makes it very clear that there's only two places. There's heaven and there's hell. But I want to tell you tonight, these verses that we have read concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can know and that we can leave this hall tonight knowing that if we die, that we're going to heaven. Now, I don't want to complicate it, because the gospel message is a very simple message. It's a lovely message. It's a powerful message. That a man or a woman could come into this meeting tonight not knowing where they're going when they die. And the mystery of the message is this, that we could leave the hall and we would know exactly that when I die, when I close my eyes, that I'm going to heaven. And that's something. That's a big thing, you know. To know that when they say, that when I die, when I close my eyes, that I'm going to heaven. And that's something. That's a big thing, you know. To know that when death comes my way, that I'm going to heaven. And that I'll never, never be in the awful place of hell. Now, I think that everyone knows that there's only two places. And we must emphasize this, and perhaps there's some in the meeting and you don't like to hear that. But you see, we're not here to tickle the ears of men and women. We're here to be honest with you, to your soul in the meeting, that there's heaven for those who are saved, those who have tasted that God is good, those who have come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted the work that he accomplished on the cross. Those who have done that are going to happen. But you see, quoted in prayer before the meeting was that verse, that if you die in your sins, the Lord Jesus Christ could say that where I am, you cannot come. So it's good to know that we could be saved just in this simple gospel meeting. Now you know yourself whether you're saved or whether you're not. There's very few, you know, could come to us and they could say, well, I'm not sure. You see, you're either saved or you're not saved. Now I want to bring before us tonight a tremendous truth that we could have a new life. We could start on a new life tonight. You see, some people, they leave these shores and they go to another country, perhaps a far off country. And if you were speaking to them, they just really say that, well, we want a new start in life. We want a new life. And I suppose we could say that that is true. I suppose when we left the shores of Ulster and came to Scotland, in many ways we were starting a new life. But that was, you see, as far as the eye could see. But I want to tell us, I want to tell you tonight of a new life that you could have spiritually. A new life. An absolutely changed life. A life that is meaningful. A life with purpose. And that's the life, you see, that a man or a woman who has got God's salvation has. A new life. Now we read, didn't we, in Romans chapter 3, sad verses, but true verses. And I want to bring before you tonight the thought about the sinner and their sins. And then I want to finish up with the lovely truth of the Savior and His salvation. Now the sinner and the sin. You see, the Bible does say in Romans chapter 3, that all have sinned. Everyone. Well, I want us to understand that. That it's not the preachers that come up here every Sunday that has made that up. It's the Word of God that we have before us. And as you were following the reading tonight, you will have saw that for yourself, that God says, not the preacher, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one. That would a sort of single out anyone in the meeting who thinks that perhaps, well, they're righteous enough to get to heaven. And well, that if I do the best I can, and if I come to the hall here, and if I sing, and if I well, really, just do the good deeds that's expected of me, that, well, somehow I'm going to get to heaven. Well, you see, you're altogether wrong. Because we've got to turn to the Word of God, and we've got to realize what the Word of God says. It says that every mouth might be stopped. That your ideas and my ideas, that they might be really just put to the one side. And we're to realize that all the world has become guilty before God. You see, the sinner and his sins. And you see, that's what's going to keep us out of heaven now. Now I know that we can't help the fact that we are born sinners. Because we have got to go back to the origin of sin. We have got to go back to the commencement. And we turn back to Genesis, don't we? And we realize there that Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God. Oh, there was just one little thing that God asked them to do. And that was that they were not
to partake of one fruit in the garden. They were to leave that alone. That was the commandment of God. That was a request from God. And you see, the devil came along and he sowed the doubt. And he caused Adam and Eve, our first parents, to fall, to disobey God. And then, of course, the whole world was swept into disobedience to God. We read, don't we? Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. My beloved, there's only one thing that's going to keep you out of heaven tonight, and that is your sin. That is your sin. And if we die in our sins, I want to be faithful now, because we might never have an opportunity, you know, to tell you this again. If we die in our sins, we're going to be lost. You might look at me, or you might look into the ground, and you might say, we've heard all of that before. Well, that is the truth. I want to tell you, man, I want to tell you, dear woman, that if you pass out of time into eternity, but your sins unforgiven, you're going to be lost, and lost forever. The sinner and the sin. You see, every day we sin. You see, it's natural. It's a natural thing in the breast of man. It's a sort of second nature, because our nature is a sinful nature. David could say, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In other words, the moment David was conceived, that little one in the womb, you see, had a sinful nature. And that nature was prone to sin. And right from a little baby and a child growing up, you soon, it becomes evident that there's disobedience. And soon the little sin appeared in all of our lives, just proving what God has said. That we're sinners, and that we need our sins forgiven. The sinner and the Savior. Well, I want to think about the sinner's death tonight. The sinner's death. You see, we have a debt that we cannot pay ourselves. That little chorus, I think it talks about that. That we have a debt that we cannot pay. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He paid a debt that He did not owe. You see, the debt that we have is sin. A debt to God. A debt that we cannot pay. A debt that we cannot work to pay. We cannot pray to pay. We cannot do anything to pay the debt to God. But I want to tell you, beloved, that the Lord Jesus Christ, that He on the cross at Calvary, that He paid that debt for us. You see, the poor sinner stands condemned. The poor sinner stands guilty. Let me just add this. When I speak about the sinner tonight, I speak about every man and every woman in the hall. Though some of us are saved tonight, but we're only sinners saved by grace. And if you're in the making tonight and you're not saved, I trust that you don't mind me saying or speaking about a sinner, because that's what we all are. But I want to tell you this, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven so that He might go to the cross, and that He might pay the debt. Oh my, the poor sinner stands head and shoulders in debt tonight. Nothing he can do. Nothing she can do. As we have thought about, we can't pray. We can't do anything. You see, sin has separated us from God. Well, I would like to read, if you can open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 59, because it's good to It's good to see that for this for yourself. Isaiah chapter 59, and here's what it says. Verse number 2. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. That's a verse that we have got to look at. And we have got to realize that my sin has done something to God. My sin has really separated me from God. And my sin has barred me from God. And my sin has indeed closed God's face from me, as it were. Because God is a holy God, he's a righteous God, and God cannot look upon sin. God, you see, hates sin. But let me tell you this. He loves the sinner, you see. That's the mystery of the gospel. God loves the sinner, for he hates her sin. And he says this. He says her sins, her iniquities, have separated us from God. Completely made a difference. Completely a barrier. My sin has made a barrier between me and God. And you see, then God, he saw us in our plight. He saw that we had a debt. He saw that we couldn't pay the debt. We couldn't do anything to save ourselves. So here's what God did. That lovely verse in John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Beloved, God saw us in our need. God saw us in our plight. God saw that we had a debt that we could not pay. What did God do? Out of love to us, out of love to the sinner, he sent the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who was holy, the one who was spotless, the one who was undefiled, the one who was pure at heart, and he was all fair with, the one who came from heaven, and he came to earth. And he finally went to the cross. And there on the center tree, there the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the mediator. He was the one that came in between God, a holy God, and the poor sinner. Now try to follow this, beloved. Try to follow this. Oh yes, God saw us ruined in the fall. But God sent his Son to the cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the only fit man, the only man that never transgressed, that he took our place. And he brought us. He brought the sinner and God together. That's how we can have our sins forgiven. That's how we can be brought back to God. That's why we read that lovely verse. The Lord Jesus himself could say to the question that was asked, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, beloved, we were born at a distance from God. And if you're not saved tonight, you're still at a distance. But God wants you to bring you in. God wants to reconcile you to himself. God wants to forgive your sins. He wants to change your whole outlook. He wants to save you tonight. And he wants to do it tonight. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Oh, on the cross as he suffered. As man crowned him with a cruel crown of thorns. As man heaped the punishment after punishment upon him. And he suffered. And he wept, and he cried. Man had no time, man had no thought. but no concern for the pains that he was suffering. Remember in the three dark hours when the sun was out, refused to shine, and God took my sins and he took your sins and he laid them on the center one on the cross. Oh, beloved, the truth of the gospel tonight, that I'm a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. This is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of my attention, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You see, we have heard that we're sinners. We have heard that we're born in sin, but there's a great remedy. We have no need to continue in our sins and die in our sins and go to hell. No, there's a remedy. God has provided salvation. Imagine the goodness of God, that he has provided salvation for us, that we can come and we can believe and we can trust that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, I'll say it again, stand underneath the cross tonight, beloved. Close your eyes and think of it. Think about it. That God took all my sins, every one of them. All my sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. But then there's a wee bit that pushes people. Unbelieving, I am free. You see, there's some folk, and they know it's true, and they know it's right, and they listen to the gospel, and they know the need of a Savior. But you see, they get to a certain point, and they can't seem to get any further. And I was there, beloved, myself, so I know what I'm speaking about. Before I was saved, as many as a night I'd love to have been saved, I just seemed to be stuck. I couldn't make progress until at last the Holy Spirit brought it to me this way. Well, I'm the sinner. I'm the one that has transgressed. But here's a loving Savior, the one who is God's unique, God's beloved Son, the Holy One. And here he is. And he has come. And he has come for one mission, for one purpose, that he might unite, listen, that he might unite the sinner with God, that he might bring the sinner back to God, that he might bring a pardon to him, that he might pay the debt that he owes to God, that he might give him a clean bill. A clean sheet. And that's what you can have tonight, by simply recognizing that it's Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus that has paid it. That this is what I need. I need Christ. I need to believe. I need to step out in faith, you see. I need to forget about all the things really around me. I need to single myself out. I need to just come before God and realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one. He's the only one. Because he said it himself, and we quote that lovely verse again. He says, look now, if we want our sins forgiven, and he said this to the disciples, he said it to Thomas, he said, there's only one thing that I want you to know. And he says, look at me, take a good look at me now. He says, I am the way. He says, I am the truth. He says, I am the life. If a man or a woman wants life, they're to look to Christ. What about it tonight? By faith. It's not a matter of signing a card. It's not a matter of getting onto your feet. It's just sitting quietly in the seat where you are and realizing that I've got to exercise faith. I've got to believe. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe, oh beloved, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believe all about Christ tonight, beloved, and you'll be saved. God will save you. Take God at his word. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You remember the Philippian jailer so long ago. And there was no time to waste. Beloved, there was no time to waste. The Philippian jailer was at the point of death. And I want to say this in passing. Any one of us could be the very jaws of death. Any one of us could spend our last Sunday on earth and tomorrow we're gone. The Philippian jailer had only a few minutes. And he cried out to the man, he says, "What must I do to be saved?" You know what the reply was? Here's it. It wasn't now, undo what you've done. Remove us from the stocks. Be a better person. Have a softer heart. You know what it was? It said to him that, believe. See the word? Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Could I make it any simpler, beloved? Oh, I trust that the Spirit of God might open your understanding to realize what the hymn writer was trying to say when he said, "There is life." At a look at the crucified one, there is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed to the tree. Man or woman, if you want to be saved tonight, look to Christ. Look at Christ. Realize what he has done on the cross. Oh, the shame. Oh, the awfulness of the cross. The lovely Savior. The patience and the grace. And all that was seen in him as he suffered for us, that he might bring us to God. There's a way back to God. There's a way back. There's a way back to God. You see, we were born at a distance from God. But God has provided a way. God has provided a remedy. And I want to labor this just for a moment or two. God has provided salvation, if we can only grasp it. And the salvation is in Christ Himself. Somebody says, "Well, I would love to be saved. And I've listened. But I can't really seem to make any moves. What do I do? How can I have the assurance that you're talking about? Will I feel anything?" Salvation, you see, is not in feelings. Salvation is not really seeing anything. Well then, how can I get saved? I wonder if you've ever tried this. To understand from the Word of God that you're a sinner. To simply come before God and confess it. "Lord Jesus, tonight, I'm a sinner. I have strayed. I am the one that is guilty. And I come and I confess it. I repent of my sin." Remember the prodigal son? He had spent all in a far country. And he decided to return. And what he did, he went out. And he decided to do a U-turn. And to come back. And he came to his father. You know what he said? He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And the Father saw him. See? What he did, he told his Father the truth. I'm a sinner. I have strayed, I've done wrong. I have forsook everything that is Godward. But I want to tell you that I'm sorry. I want to repent. I want to confess it all. I'm an open book before you. And you see, if a man or a woman really gets to the point where they realize God knows everything about them, they just confess it. They say to God, I'm a guilty sinner. I'm lost. I'm undone. I'm unclean. I'm helpless. And I want your salvation. And God will open the way. And he will reveal the truth of the substitution on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ stepping into my path. Isn't that lovely? Lovely. Taken on my place. And bearing my punishment on his own body on the tree. This is a faithful saying. And worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I want to ask you just one question before I leave. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ on the cross, he died for you? Lock, stock and barrel. He died on the cross for you. Forget about the world, for he died for the world. But just single yourself out and realize, oh, I see it now. Never seen it like that before. That the Lord Jesus Christ loved me. Just me. And he gave himself for me. He suffered for me. And I'm going to believe that. And I'm going to believe it now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. I trust that God might bless these verses. And bless the remarks. And I trust that someone might come to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept his forgiveness and his salvation, shall we pray. Our Father, we bow before thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we just pray, our Father, that thou mightest, for God, bless us tonight. Oh God, we need a blessing. Oh God, there's some perhaps in the meeting. And Father, they would just love to be saved. And they found it difficult. And Father, we pray to make it easy for them tonight in these closing moments of the meeting. Oh God, we just pray to help them, our Father, to come to thee in confession and to accept, our Father, the work at Calvary. The work, our Father, that the Lord Jesus did for them. The work, our Father, that he accomplished on the cross, that they might have salvation, that their sins might be forgiven. Oh God, we just bring them to thee, bring the meeting to thee, and pray to bless the young, and pray to bless the old, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to just take time to sing a hymn. Together, 230. I just want us to sing this hymn quietly. We'll remain seated and we'll take time to sing it all. O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. 230, keeping our seats, just singing the whole hymn.